Sometimes we forget when we come to church that we're actually supposed to smile, okay? It's like, well, really, it's like fun to be here. And although the word cuts between soul and spirit and we're challenged by the word of God, it's actually great fun to follow God. How many of you would agree? Okay, otherwise you mustn't be here. Then please go and sin, because if the sinners enjoy the sin more than what we enjoy the presence of God, then please don't be here, because then you're just making your life miserable, okay? God wants us to walk in the fullness. God wants us to understand that He's actually sometimes, you know, and most of the times He actually smiles over us even when we make mistakes, okay? He actually enjoys it when we come this morning, and this is not like speaking down at us or anything like that. I just want to sometimes when we're so focused on ourselves, what happens is we don't see that God actually says, like, whoa, you know, come just play here. I love it when my children just play, and especially Josh, you know, when he's like the youngest one, when he's like does all these stuff, you know, and I think he's figuring out the whole world. He's got the whole world, you know, he's got it figured out, you know. And then he comes to you, and do you know what an enjoyment? All of us as parents, we have that thing when your kid just does stuff, you know, and even when they do nonsense and they, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had it, you know, then you go and laugh in another part of the house, and then you come back, then you have to have a straight face, you know, because you just like think, wow, I couldn't think of that. That was like good. That was just like a perfect sinner. That was like 100% well, you know. He didn't go 80% for that. So at least he's gone that. Okay, are you with me? I think I told the story not last year, the year before that, when Josh came to me, and he came running to me and said, you know, Daddy, I didn't foo-foo in my brook, you know. I didn't poof in my brook, you know. And so I was like very excited. And yeah, I come with him around the corner. And as I go in the corridor, I see there's a poofy right there in the middle of the corridor, just before the toilet, you know. So I was thinking, oh, my chuna, you know. So we had a worship service next to the heap of, you know, memorial stones, the stuff there in the middle. Because he didn't do that, you know. We were encouraging him all the time, don't foo-foo in your brook, you know. And he didn't do that. So it was an accomplishment. It was something he didn't do it the right way, and he couldn't make it to the white throne judgment. But eventually, you know, he got there. And okay, so all the grappies op 'n stokkie of the grappies in die gang, whatever. Okay. I want to talk to us about something that is very simple and yet profound. When we understand that there were three words that Jesus said that was probably the most important words ever that was spoken on the face of the earth. Probably the three words that if we understand what he meant with those three words, then our lives will change. Our interaction with God will change, because from John chapter 1, in John chapter 2, in John chapter 4, scripture refers to the fact that Jesus would come for 1 hour. And it would say that for this hour I came into this world. Jesus referred to it so many times, even on the cross when he said, I'm thirsty. He said so that scripture might be fulfilled, so that everything might be fulfilled. And then he said these couple of words. He said, it is finished. It's beautiful. It's in red there. It is finished. I want you to say, it is finished. In John chapter 19, verse 30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, tetelestai. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It's words that we read many times. And when we talk about the blood of Jesus, when we talk about what he has accomplished, this is quite a challenging three words, you know, because he said it is finished. So it's like this painting here. This painting, the artist, she finished the painting. She saw something, she saw pictures, she finished the painting, it was done. It's like Africans, some probably in Natal somewhere, because KwaZulu-Natal, I don't know what that is, Malfas, whatever you call that, Malfas in English. And there's like, it's not the most beautiful painting. It's one of those paintings that we've inherited, Louise and I, we inherited it. We got it from a family member. So you keep it like in a cupboard somewhere until the family member is like... And then you can use it in a sermon. Okay, so not going to do today. But so it's not the most beautiful painting, but at least it's nice and it's finished. The artist had a certain picture in mind, and she drew this picture, and she finished it, and she came to a place where she said, I think the picture that I have is completed. It's like finished. Okay, so if it's finished, it's finished. Would you agree with me? Okay, if you've done something, you... came to that place after you ate that lack of meal, then you say, you know, and some of us sin a little bit when we eat too much, and we come with the pudding, the malva pudding and the flour, and we say, it is finished and I am finished. Okay, whatever you say. But it's amazing when you use these words, and it's such, so profound if we understand that 3 o'clock on an afternoon, you know, a certain afternoon on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said this. It was at exactly the same time when the high priest would every year go into this place called the Holy of Holies, and there he would take blood and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. No other Jew could go in there except the high priest. There was this thick veil between him and where God's presence was, and then once a year on the day of Yom Kippur, this high priest could go into this place, and then he took blood and he sprinkled it on this mercy seat, and then he said these words, tetelestai. He said, it is finished. He completed that for that year through atonement. Every year the blood would make atonement for the sins of the whole nation. The only problem was next year they had to come back again, and everybody had to stand there and say, okay, we're going to go in again. The high priest is going to go in. He's going to make these sacrifices. And then he's going to say those words again in the presence of God. When he's going to come out, he's going to be like, whoa, party time. Really, God has forgiven our sins. Everything has been accomplished. And it's not by chance that this Jesus, on that same time, 3 o'clock, because there were two sacrifices normally on a day like that, on 3 o'clock on the afternoon, a specific hour, a specific minute, to the minute, Jesus declared, it is finished. And the immediate result is he could give up his spirit. It wasn't taken from him. He could surrender and trust God. And then through that place, this thick veil was torn from top to bottom. It tore open. Meaning that you and I now have access to the throne room of this almighty God, this Father that the Jews were scared of, so scared, and they were so afraid that they could not even mention his name in full. They always used part of his name. And right now, you know, what happened is then there was earthquakes, there was stuff that happened, there was like the dead rose. Things happened after Jesus said these couple of words. But it's very profound when we understand it is finished. Are you with me? Okay, thank you for your enthusiasm right there. I'm going to just share two scriptures that we shared 2 weeks ago and that Pastor Fred also shared last week. In Romans chapter 8 verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. This is a year where we have, God has really said to us that he's going to give us the keys of David, and we're going to enter into his rest. We're going to enter into a place where we know our identity and our authority in Christ. And many times what we do is we sort of just like spectators in this relationship with God. And God has not called us to be spectators. He said, you're going to run a race and you're going to need to finish that race. And then one of the guys that were ready when we talk about the keys of David was David himself. David understood something of the heart of God. David understood something of who God was. And we all know the story. He took these little stones. He went to this little riverbed, and then he got these stones. And then he went against Goliath. You know, his brother wanted to intimidate him. His brother said to David, David, who are you? You know, where do you come from? You know, and David had to stand up. And then David comes to Goliath, and he comes to Goliath in a specific way because he saw God and he had this place at the brook. I always think, now why didn't he just take one stone? Because if he really knew what was going to happen, he would have just taken one stone. Would you agree with me? Hello? He took a couple of stones because it wasn't really about the stones. It was about the time that he spent at the river, because he had to get himself away from all the circumstances and all the accusations and all the screaming, so that what? He could see what God's plan was. He could connect with God. That's really what the little stones was about. So he went off, he took these stones, and then he comes to Goliath, this Philistine, and then David said to him in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And then we know this story, like Pastor Fred shared last week, where he cut off the Goliath's head and he just made sure that he's dead, dead Goliath. Okay, up there somewhere. Okay, so, and later, you know, there wasn't a sword for him to fight, but then they gave him Goliath's sword so that he could fight. And David, for a long time through his life, fought with Goliath's sword. Because there's something here that gives us a key in that sense that when we come, when we look out there, when we look at our circumstances, we can be so intimidated. It was like yesterday, we were on campus and having a stall, and now, you know, it was like these spiritual yoga, all these people branting their viruk. What is viruk in English? Incense, yeah. They brand their viruk, okay, their vice smoking, okay, let's call it vice smoking. Incense, yeah, you're right. Okay, so incense, they burnt their incense, and all these yoga people, and they sent people from Korea to come and evangelize here on campus, and they were standing right there in the middle where all the people come across, and they just burning all that stuff. And I decided, well, we're going to love them, but you know what? We're not going to allow this to happen on campus. Why? Because we're children of God. So I walked around, I took Theo's hand, I said, we're going to stand in front of the stall and smile to them and say, yeah, hello. Here's a nice shandai. I draw a line here right around this. Nobody will come into this. Because they're like going for it. They're like evangelizing. They're like, you know, our conservative campus. And we think like, oh, that's nice. You know, oh, there's a place. But you know what? They bring all chochas with them, you know. But in any case, some of you are going to get excited. So David stood here and he saw all the people. He saw all this stuff. And then he came against Goliath and he says, do you know, I don't come in my own strength. But I come to you because I've seen the Lord of hosts of armies of heaven. And the moment when you can, and I can begin to see who this God is that we serve. If you place God next to your circumstances, if I place God next to my circumstances, and we begin to say, whoa, you know, God is so much bigger. God has got the universe in the palm of his hands. You can just go like, there goes Earth. There goes Mars. There goes Venus. Okay, let's just, God can do that. He's this awesome God. And when you and I begin to understand, like David saw, that God is huge. He's so much bigger than us. Then what we begin to do is we begin to surrender because we can trust him. Okay, it's like people at school that go for the bullies, you know, that you want to be the bully's buddy. Why? Because the strongest, you're going to side with him, you know, or you're going to run away. But the amazing thing is just go with the stronger. And God is stronger. But the devil wants us to lie because he's the father of lies. He will always tell you that your circumstances, oh, those demons coming to knock on your door, those stuff. Well, maybe what Jesus did on the cross wasn't complete. It wasn't like we have to sort of try harder and all that stuff. And I've got good news for you. There's absolutely nothing we can add to God. Our worship doesn't change God. It doesn't add to God. Our prayer doesn't change God. It just changes us as we come into this relationship. As we begin to stand there like little David and we say, Goliath, I come to you in this God. Because you obviously haven't seen him. You obviously haven't got a clue. Okay. So we can have a God focus. We can have a self focus. We can have a sin focus. Or we can have a slave focus when we have a relationship with God. And when we, like David, can see how big God is, then it doesn't matter what comes against us. We can walk onto the scene and we can say like, whoa, I know God. And do you know how many people out there want to know God? And they are just waiting for you and me to tell them. They're just waiting. They are desperate. And that's why there's so many religions. There's so many stuff, you know. But we must walk away from feeling intimidated by our circumstances and always believing the lie. Now, I was at a place in my life about 4 years ago, it was probably more, where, you know what, I started, it was very simple. It was a very simple lie. One day, I believe that I'm going to die young. I don't know, I saw a little clip on television and it, you know, and it was sort of this little lie came in and I was thinking, well, okay, maybe I'm not going to live long, you know. So, then the next day, somebody came and shared a story of their friend that died when he was like 19 years old. And I was thinking, oh, okay. But it wasn't like a, yes, in the purpose of God, yes, in the will of God died. It was sort of like, almost like, oh, afraid die. You know that type of thing. Now this little thought comes and this little thought creeps in. And now suddenly what started to happen 9 months later, I got attacked in the middle of the night by these things, these fears of death. I was like, I couldn't sleep. I slept for 3 hours a night, you know, and now I have to like preach at people and do all this stuff. But I started to give in. What started just a little thought became an argument. In the end became such a stronghold that my body actually started to begin to respond to the lie that I believed. Anybody experienced that before? Because the things that you begin to fear in your life, the lies that you begin to believe, those happen in your life. Okay. So, Jesus said that the work is finished. Okay, like this painting. He said it's finished, it's been completed. Now, what we sometimes try to do is we go and we say, oh, wonderful, the work is completed. Everything is fine. But you know what? That painting isn't good enough for me. There's no birds in this painting. Beautiful. Have you ever seen that? I was always an artist. And, you know, I always wanted to make a smiley face when I was young, but it must be a yellow one. Don't worry, the family member has passed on and is with the Lord. Okay. 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 Two little birdies. And so what I try to do in my life, in this relationship with God, then many times is I start to say, well, maybe I must add a little bit because the picture isn't really complete, okay? There is the smiley face. There must be somebody at least. There must be people. There's like, do-do-do-do, stock money key, do-do-do-do. Can you see that? Oh, you just see like stuff over there. Kolikis. It's not working. The camera isn't focusing so much on my artwork here. Okay. But it's beautiful. Can you see this? Come on. You know, I've been working. I've been practicing the whole week. But these little birdies flying and little people walking around there. It's like a beautiful painting. But that is exactly what we do when we come to God. Yeah, and there was a guy that I met that was instrumental in changing Uganda's, the whole country. And he said one day he was praying to God and he was saying, God, you know, we're going to change. And we're already praying for 2 years in the mountains. His name is John. And then one morning, the Lord said to him, John, do you think I need counsel? I need counseling. Then John said, no, Lord, you don't need counsel. And then he said, but John, do you think I need counsel? God asked him, second time in an audible voice. He says, God, you're like perfect. You don't need any counsel. And then the third time around, God asked him again. And he said, well, if God asked you 3 times in a row, then the third time, rather be quiet and rather listen. Don't just be quick to answer God. Because, you know, obviously he didn't give the right answer the first time around. So he just kept quiet. And then the Lord said to him audibly, as he was sitting in the mountains and they were running away from all the persecution and stuff. Then the Lord said to him, but John, every time you come to me in prayer, you tell me what I must do, when I must do it, and how I must do it. And he said his prayer life changed. He focused more on what God already said and proclaiming that into the world than telling God what to do and allowing God and telling God, God, if you don't do this right now today for me, then I'm not going to serve you anymore. So what? God, if you don't come to, Lord, if you don't change this, Lord, change this, da 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 da. And we tell God all the time what he must do. Well, do you know what? Then we add to the painting. We begin to say, ah, Lord, your picture isn't good enough. And then God sometimes has to come and he has to wipe everything clean. And he says, but the painting is actually perfect because my son has finished it. So where do we start with this? How do we enter into the finished work of Christ? Because now when we think of a finished work like that, we think like, okay, the painting is finished. So let's stick it there. Let's leave it there. Well, very simply, he says, and the first thing is we must abide in him. In John chapter 15, verse 4-8, and I'm going to share 3 things with you, and then we're going to pray. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Say, I am the vine. Say, Lord, you are the vine. And say, I am the branches. Okay, that's the right way around. He who abides in God and you in him bears much fruit, for without God you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in God, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He says, very simply, if you abide in God, the result of that abiding is much fruit. If there's no fruit in your life, testimony of God's goodness, of his life, do you know what? Then it means you're not abiding. It's like this vine. This comes from a very expensive farm around here. I went in the middle of night and I cut it off and the farmer almost shot me. No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I got permission for that. But it's like this little branch. This branch is connected to this. This is actually a branch and all, but let's play that. That's the vine. This is a branch. This connection is in that little stocky over there. Can you see it? There's no sort of beginning and end. It's connected. And if this thing wants to bear fruit, it must be connected there all the time. Would you agree with me? If for one moment I do this, for one moment, do you know what happens? It's dead. So what we do when we think of coming to church many times and when we become Christians is we do this. We say, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, small group Wednesday. Now I'm going to be spiritual. The problem is no connection, no life. Would you agree with me? It's very simple. So we have this mentality called dualism where we think like I've got a spiritual world and I've got a natural world. But Jesus says if you don't abide in me, if there's not a connection all the time, there's a problem. So meaning this, that do you know that your spirit is alive 24/7? So that when you go to bed at night, do you know your spirit is alive? Hello? Do you know that God wants to speak to you? You can do stuff in the middle of the night. You can receive dreams and visions. That's why before you go to bed, you must say, God, I thank you that I can be like the Indians. Not the Indians in America. But you know what? They don't sleep at night. That's why Microsoft and all these people have their headquarters there. Because while you phone from maybe South Africa or from America, then it's not somebody in South Africa that answers your phone call. It's somebody in India in the middle of the night. And they are trained with an accent to speak in your language. Why? So Microsoft and many of these companies, they are alive 24/7. And therefore you cannot outwit them. They'll always be ahead. Why? Because there's always life. Hello? And so God challenges and Jesus says, if you want to know me, if you want to know this finished work, you need to abide. You need to be like David that goes to the brook. You look at all this stuff. You inquire of God and you just say, God, I thank you that you're always with me. This lie that says, oh, I must put on a spirituality when I come to church. That is the biggest lie. We're not more spiritual here than when you drive in your car, than when you go to bed at night, than when you do stuff for God. You know what? Because God said He will never leave you nor forsake you. So it doesn't matter where you walk into a situation, you can say, thank you, God, for your kingdom that is coming right here. Why? Because I'm here. And your kingdom is inside of me. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when you begin to look like this, when you have a God focus and you begin to walk into a place and you begin to say, God, what are you doing? How can I partner with you? Because God, obviously, you have finished the work. You know this picture. You know, I told you the story of this one guy once that was coming to the Nielsen. He was standing there and Jaco and I walked down to him and then he started to say, oh no, don't tell me. And I said, yes, we will tell you. And they said, no, don't share the gospel with me. Are you Christians? We said, do you know what? We are. He says, because my grandmama phoned me this morning, 6 o'clock. And she says, Buddha, you can run, but you cannot hide. God is going to send 2 people to you, 2 Christians to you, and they're going to tell you about how much God loves you, and today is your day of salvation. And he ran away. And here we come walking. We say, thank you, grandmama. Okay? Bring it on, Jesus. Because we're part of this plan. We're part of this picture. He's finished the work. But we need to abide in him because if you're outside of him, there's no life. If you're going to try in your own strength, you see these little tuckies, these little branches, there's absolute no way they can bear fruit if they're not connected. And that's why the life stream flows through the whole system into this tucky. And then everywhere you go, the fruit just pops up. You don't try to be and say, oh, I want to be a strawberry today. You know, I want to be a mango. You know, and then you pop out mangoes when you're like, crap. You just start to produce after the source, which is Jesus. You become Christ-like. It just begins to happen. You don't try to be a grape vine. You don't try to produce grapes. It happens out of you. Why? Because you are connected. Are you with me this morning? Whew. Lekker, lekker. Listen to this, Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's good works, there's God works, there's dead works. Stuff that we try in our own flesh, because there's nothing that you can try to add to this picture. There's nothing you can say like, and that's why scripture says, you can, I'll put it on my Facebook page, but there's like in Christ. If you just go and do a search for in Christ, it says we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. We've got everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. It's a position where you step out of this realm, this natural realm, and you begin to step in Christ. Scripture says we put on Christ every day. We put on the armor of God. We begin to step into a place where we say, God, I am not an engineer. I'm not a this. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And I can begin to walk in that place where Christ begins to reflect through me. You know, as we sat there in Pakistan, I want you to go right to the back, right to the end of those slides. There's some. I want to show you the somewhere. There's like these beautiful robes that we wore. Now you do this stuff just because of the photo, but you don't actually wear it in your life again. Is it not there? Oh, they just have this like that. Okay, we'll show you. We'll show you later. The day, okay? But very simply, when you're in Pakistan and you're walking there, and you suddenly begin to realize, oh my khuna, you know, these people die every day for their faith. And here you come from a place where you have got the freedom to worship God. We've got the freedom to stand up and shout. Any of you, you can stand up and shout now, and nobody's going to like shoot you apart, you know? Shoot you apart. Take you apart, okay? Nobody's going to like shoot you. Why? Because, do you know, there's a freedom that we have. Those people die. Now you stand there. Now you have to preach to 400 leaders and pastors in the church. And you think like, whoa, what am I going to give? What am I going to tell these people? You know, the Lord be with you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. You know, then suddenly you begin to realize, are you going to now do it in your own strength, or are you going to come in the position of Christ because you understand his word? And I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. He says, if you've got a world-class athlete standing in that track, you don't need to go and look and say, oh, what is it? All you need to do is, he says, fire the starting pistol and look at these abilities. That's why we preach the gospel. We don't need to defend the gospel. The word of God is alive. And when we begin to step into Christ, there's an authority to let the mountain say, get out of the way. There in Egypt, there's a mountain that moved for 3 kilometers. Did you know that? Because of Christians that prayed there, the first Coptic Christians, they just said, mountain move. Because the guy in charge said, well, I read in your word, in your scripture, that mountains must move. So, move the mountain. So they said, okay. The mountain moved for 3 kilometers. Now, you won't find it in the history books because, you know what? The Muslim faith has written it out of the history books. But go and ask any Coptic and they say, yes, it happened. That's why the church is still standing there. The cave church in Egypt, in Cairo. Why? Because people believed that if you're in Christ, things will happen. Hello. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay, I'm just going to preach for another hour until I get some more amens. Okay. The second thing, once we've abided in Christ, God calls a level of obedience to him. And this is quite scary. Once you're in there, do you know what? Once you're connected to that vine, you're going to produce fruit. You're going to produce grapes. It's going to happen. Why? Not because you're so good or because you do like stuff and you say, every morning you wake up and say, I'm a vine, I'm a branch, I'm a branch, and then we sing nice songs. It's just simply because of your connection it's going to come. Because of the source that is pure, the source that is life, because of the focus of that connection. But then it begins to happen where God says, okay, let's talk about this, because if you want to enter into that finished work of Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to be obedient. In John chapter 15, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. And then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly. Now when Jesus says most assuredly, he says definitely yes. Definitely, definitely. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You. Beautiful. Not an 80% obedience, not 100% obedience, not a 99% obedience, a perfect obedience. Whoa. Yeah? He says he can do nothing in himself, but there was this relationship, this freedom. And it wasn't because of he must do this and he must do that and he must do a set of rules, you know, because let's be honest with each other. I don't know if you like that, but I studied accounting. I studied BEREC, you know. So I love, my default is rules. What did they write on the minutes? Because let's go back to the minutes, okay? How many of you are like that? Just like quickly, okay? Most of us, if we're honest, you know. Why? Because rules is always easier to follow than to have relationship. How many married people can agree with that? Come on, be honest. Okay? Relationship is hard work. That's why you're going to get offended in church. The people closest to you are going to say sometimes the nastiest things about you. And then what your default can be is, ooh, rules. You never. You always say that word to me. Never. Always. Never. Always. Yeah. Then we use these absolutes. Why? Because we love rules. But relationship with God comes out of a place because you understand the heart of the one who shares with you. If you know, you can do everything perfectly in obedience, but if you miss the heart of the Father, if you miss the person sharing that with you, do you know what? You're gonna miss it. You're going to get religious. That's why religion is so strong in the world. Why? Because people follow a set of rules. People will go to the ends of the earth. But if they miss the heart, you know, if you're a Hindu, then simply, you know, you don't know. Amongst those 2 million gods, you don't know. And most of the Hindu faith comes out of appeasement. You just want to keep the gods happy. Yeah? So that's why every morning, right through the people, go to the altars and the place, and they just for hours and hours they worship there. And before every house, there's these little flowers. They put out this stuff because they just want the gods, especially the god Kali, to be happy. The Muslims, the same. They just fear motivated. There's just no, just only the only people that know whether they're going to go to heaven is simply those who blow themselves up. Nobody else is secure of a relationship with this god or this deity, except true believers. Can you say amen? Okay, remember when we were in India, in the beginning we were very stupid, you know, because we would go and pray in the temples. Don't, please, it's not good for your health, okay? So here we go, and we go, that the one was in India and the other one is in Nepal. Well, I remember going in a big hall like this. In Bangalore, there's a massive, massive temple. It's called the Krishna Temple. And so we're going to pray there, you know. So now Hans and I and a couple of us, now we go, because you walk about 3 kilometers. The queues just stand there from 4 o'clock in the morning. You walk 3 kilometers before you get into this massive temple hall, and then there's all the gold and the stuff in front. So then you have to go through these roads. So here we go, and we're like, no, and then suddenly as we walked, I'll never forget it in my life, as we walked over into through the doorstep, I realized, there's something wrong here, you know. There's some stuff happening here that I don't have a clue what's happening. Because you know what? There were no windows in the place. There was just the open front doors like that. And there was a wind blowing in the place. Ooh. The wind was like whirling around. And the wind picked up the more the people played the drums. And now I'm thinking, I'm here. And there's another kilometer for me to get through there, because you can't turn back, you know. And now suddenly something came up, pressed here on me, and I realized I can't breathe, you know. And I'm thinking like, oh, you know. And you know what you do then? You say, Jesus, help. Jesus, help. Thank you that you finished. Thank you that your blood is enough. You know, it's amazing what proclamations you make in places like that, you know. So now I was shandying all the time, you know. And this guy just he wanted to talk to me, but I just shandai, because I just thought, oh, my life depends on this, you know. I'm here in a place that's consecrated to other stuff, and here's stuff that I don't understand, but the wind is blowing, and there's no windows. Now you figure that out, yeah. Let me tell you another scary story. Can I tell you a scary story? We went to Nepal, and we went into a blood temple where they sacrifice blood every day, and goats and all this stuff. And so here we're going, and we're praying, we're walking around. Here comes this old man, this priest, by Nepalese guy, you can see, you know. And so he starts to follow us, and I get this like squeaky feeling. I'm just thinking like, this guy is not good news, you know. His eyes had no pupils in it. It was white, but it was not a something that's grown over it is just white. His eyes is just white. So he walks around there in the temple, but he doesn't look to where he walks so he can see, and there's no stuff in there. So that was like freaky. Would you agree with me? You know, that was like really freaky. So here he goes. He walks down, and I'm beginning to shun die again, you know. I'm just thinking, Jesus, what is this man doing, you know? And so we're praying. And it's amazing how you pray. Do you know what you pray in moments like that? You say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, your blood is enough for me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, not fancy prayers. Jesus, you save us. Jesus, your blood is enough. Lord, I'm not going to become a sacrifice today in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father. They're not going to hang me from a tree. Thank you that you died once and for all, you know? And so it's amazing what confessions you begin to make in moments like that. So here we walk and we come to the end, and this guy turns with these white eyes, and I'm thinking like, ooh. And then he says the following words, so wat maak julle hier? What are you doing here? He spoke in Afrikaans. I almost wet my pants. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I did. Okay. Yeah. It was the quickest that I saw 7 people leave an arena, an area, and get into a bus. It was the quickest that I saw. There was no like, come, let's get into the bus. Just 7 people running for their life, you know? Because this guy was not supposed to speak Afrikaans. Is that like Afrikaans is tongues of demons? What does that mean? Okay, you figure that out. I haven't figured it out yet. Okay. But there's a place where God says, Jesus said it in John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see, Jesus saw this. He had this relationship of perfect obedience because he understood the Father's heart. There was a place of connectedness, but he knew that there was a challenge. This picture, it's finished. But what is his job in it? He has to be obedient. He has to go and say to the world who God is. And then the last part, and I'm going to quickly just read this in John chapter 14, verse 12. Listen to the promise. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Because of that way, you know, because of Jesus connecting to the Father's heart. And, you know, I spoke at Paul Boisei's camp the other day. And it was just so amazing. All I spoke about is the Father's heart of God. We did like 8-hour sessions there, and it was just like, in the end, you know, I'll never forget it. That Friday evening, this one little chap, English guy, we're all sitting, and I said to them, look here, come and kneel here in front. Now, obviously, you know, the great 12s, they like the main max, you know. And then, but the great 10s, I just love those great 10s and great 9s. They're just like so open. They're just so hungry. You can see it in the eyes. And then they all come to the front. Everybody a bit reserved because now it's the first session that we're doing, and everybody's like out there. And then this little guy comes. I'm not going to say his name. He comes, and he just comes to kneel there. He just comes to fall there. And then he begins to weep. Bitterly. He just weeps, not from here, but from here, you know, because for the first time, you know, God spoke to him, you know, and then, you know, you could see everybody was so reserved, everybody held back until the Holy Spirit just came and said, we're going to do something now. We're going to rise. I felt completely out of it. In the end, I was snorting trana in front, and they were snorting trana, and now these boys just begin to weep. You know, they, boys, don't do that. You know, just don't weep in front of your friends, you know. But then the Holy Spirit started to break open that need for God the Father. Do you know all of us have that need? To connect with the Father, to understand his heart, not just to be connected into the vine, but to understand that when you walk in the earth, there's such a place of not just abiding in him, but a yieldedness to him because you represent. Because Jesus says, you're going to do greater works. Why? Because I go to my Father. I'm going to show you this heart. I'm going to release this heart. One of the greatest crises is the Father heart of God in this world. People are desperate to know who their real Father is, or just the Father that's present. And we're going to pray for the fathers now. Because, you know, the challenge for us is like that little boy. Now, you know, it was just, he came out afterwards. Now, 5 of his friends, they stood there. And he says to me, how do you know these things about me? I say, God knows. He says, no. You are weird, he said to me. I said, yes, I am. But God just loves you. He says, but you are still weird. How do you know all these things? Because the Lord gave me words of knowledge for this boy. And he was just like, he just wept for about, you know, I don't know how long. Just wept and wept. So now all of his friends were standing there. And there's another friend, because now he's trying to figure this out. He's trying to figure out, where does this come from? Because this guy's never spoken to me. He doesn't know me, but he's revealed. He's pushed my button, you know. He's gone right into there at the place where I'm most vulnerable. And I just got this response. And so now all the other friends are around and they're standing there, and now there's a guy who comes, and I actually said to the guy before the first session, I said to him, do you know, I want to pray for you. Just afterwards, come. I just feel God wants to say something to you. Now these groups of boys are standing there with this weird man, and I say, you know, come here, come, let me pray for you. And so now all the boys wanted to just walk away. I said, no, come stand here. You put your hands on him. Let's pray for him. Let's just ask God, well, God, what's your father's heart for this man? And so God gives me a picture, very simple picture. Somebody running a 100 meters race. So I say, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you finished the race. Lord, that this man is going to finish the race. Lord, it's a 100 meter sprint that you're showing me, but you're standing at the end line. As I'm busy praying, this boy that just said I'm weird begins to laugh. He's just like, poof. He goes to this other guy. He says to him, You obviously told him. I said, hey, I haven't finished my prayer yet. He says, you obviously told him. Did you speak to him? He says, no, I didn't tell him anything. Because, you know, this is the school's top sprinter, 100 meter sprinter. And God decided he's going to push his button. And all of those boys just stood there and they said, God is alive. God is in the place. I love it when God's plan comes together, you know. But it comes out of a place in our own hearts where we yield it to God, where we begin to say, God, I don't want to die one day without seeing your glory. Some of you parents, you must go and lay hands on your kids every day. Some of you are neglecting the disciplines with your kids. You're not praying anymore. But God is going to give you an ability when we begin to say, God, I want to abide in you. I want to know you. And that's why he says in the last scripture, 2 Timothy 1, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. You know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And some of us today need to be set free from our straitjackets, because you know what? We like the set of rules. We like to try to add to the finished work of Christ. We like to begin to say to God, God, yes, but, yes, Lord, but, yes, Lord, but, yes, Lord, but, you don't know where I come from. Yes, Lord, but, you don't know what I've experienced. Yes, Lord, but, you know, if you only do this. Yes, Lord, but, the but must stop. Where we begin to experience his heart and we begin to say, God, yes, it is finished. There are no buts around. Yes, Lord. And we have to stop making excuses, because do you know what? As long as we make excuses, we allow the accusation and the father of lies to bombard us, to come against us, to tell us what we can never do, to tell us how bad we are. And you know, all we need to do is very simply, the painting is finished, but all we need to do is this. This is God's work. We need to show the world the finished work of Christ. We need to walk up to them and say, there's a part for you in this picture. I know, Zanli, it's not, you are an artist. It's not a good picture, I know. But just pretend, okay? Otherwise, I can't paint on the thing that's hanging in my front, whatever you call it. Okay. Oh, here's another artist, Sue. She paints the most beautiful stuff and makes the most beautiful stuff. It's. What do you think about the painting? It's lovely. If it comes from the heart. Yeah, you are such a good Christian. You're doing the right answers here. Okay. But so what we do, this is our job. Jesus finished the work. Don't look at me. Yeah. Come. Now just pretend that you're enjoying this, okay? Just pretend like, wow, see yourself there in the middle of the hitty, you know, without any electricity for 7 weeks. Okay. Can you see that? And so this is really our job. All we need to do is we need to take the painting off the wall and we need to walk into people's lives and say, Jesus did it for you. Jesus finishes, and I'm here to tell you that. I'm here to proclaim that to you, that there's a place for you in the Heike, in his house. There's a place for you in his heart. And all you need to do is this. Don't add to it. Don't try to be fancy. Don't try to change the word of God. You know, so many people are changing truth. They're saying, like, but you know what? Truth cannot change, because God cannot change. And that's why the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. But we have to say no to that spirit of intimidation. We have to walk out to that place, and when the demons come to visit you at night, you begin to say, no, no, I'm not going to believe those lies anymore. Because why? I'm connected. The vine, the branches. Some of you are so scared to spend time with God every day. So you're so afraid, what are you going to see in the mirror? I want to ask you, please, get to your brook. Go pick up those stones. Because you have to be there. You cannot come against Goliath if there's not a yieldedness, if there's not an openness, if there's not a place where you've seen the picture. You see, if I cannot be a good salesman of a picture if I don't believe in the picture myself. So many Christians don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ because our minds have not been renewed. So many people say, oh, but does Jesus really heal? Because you know what? I've prayed for people and they didn't heal. Jesus healed all. And that's why Jesus said, greater works than I, you will do. Because I go to my Father. Because I want to open up the Father's heart. I want all the fathers quickly, I want you to stand because we're going to pray for you. As you pray, will you show that clip of identity? Have you got that clip? There's a massive challenge on fathers to fulfill their roles in the kingdom of God. Maybe your wife is pregnant or you want to become a father, but you can't, then I want you to stand as well. It's a desire. You're married and you want to be a father. But you know, unless the fathers take up their role, unless the fathers, but you know, the devil comes against us, you know, with everything. And he wants to take away that identity. Can you show that clip? Have you got it? Okay, go for it.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
So Father, we come this morning and we pray for all the fathers in the house. We pray, Lord, that you will increase their authority. Father, Lord, where there's, you showed me a picture that many of us, Lord, as fathers, Lord, we are intimidated by even, Lord, our responsibilities, by the stuff, Lord. Lord, there's fears about what if our kids do this and what if our kids never do that, Lord? What if this happens, Lord? And then there's always this sense in the back of our minds that we're not good fathers, or we cannot do it, Lord. Then we strive and we try all this stuff. Father, but today we thank you, Lord, for release of the father's heart. Thank you, Lord, for release from heaven, an openness, Lord, to be fathers, not just in their physical families, Lord, but in the spiritual family. Thank you, Father. We come against every assignment, Lord, that says we cannot be true sons and therefore not good fathers, Lord. Thank you, Father, for release that you today open heavens and you break every assignment over families, God. You break every lying spirit that has come, Lord, to visit. Every heaviness, Lord, that says, and there's some people here, Lord, that have Lord, failed in the finances, Lord. They've failed in certain areas, God. And that's all that's held before them, Lord, the trophy of failure, Father. But thank you today, Lord, that we brush it off. We put it aside, God. And today, Lord, we come to you by, Lord, the spiritual authority that you have given us as fathers, Lord, to stand in front of our homes, to stand over our community, Lord, and say, here we are, Lord. Raise us up, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even when we come against Goliath, we don't come in our own strength. We come in the name of the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. Thank you, Lord, that the whole of the earth is waiting. Lord, the creation is waiting eagerly for these fathers to be revealed, Father. And we pray for a father's heart, a stirring, Lord, in all of these men, Lord, that you'll begin to speak to them, Lord. You'll begin to release and open heavens, God. We thank you, Father, for that desire. I want you just to, if you're a father, just stretch out your hand and say, Lord, I'm your child, and I ask you for my authority, Lord. I'm not going to negate my authority. I'm not going to give it away, Father. I thank you that you've made me the leader of the home. I thank you for responsibility. Lord, I'm not going to give it over to anybody else, Father. Lord, I will stand face to face. And Lord, I pray for the fear of God in my life, Lord, that you will give me not just the grace, but also a fear of God. Thank you, Lord, for a grace because of an appointment, because of a desire. Lord, we break every assignment that wants to take men away from that fullness, Father. And thank you, Lord. Lord, even there's some guys here, Lord, that feel very unspiritual. They feel, God, no, Lord, when it comes to spiritual stuff, they rather want away. Lord, but we break that cycle, especially over the Afrikaner nation, Lord. We especially pray, Lord, that men will begin to lead again, Lord, so that they can stand before you and say, God, I'm taking responsibility. I want people around them just to put your hand on them. Father, we just thank you for release. We ask that you'll open the heavens over them. Open the heavens over them, Lord. That you especially bring a release, God, over their lives, Father. And we say no more lying, no more intimidation, no more accusation. Father, we just ask that you come, Lord, to give them that identity and authority in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that they can enter into your rest and that you'll give them the keys of David, Lord. You'll give them the ability, Lord, to stand strong and to do great and mighty exploits. Thank you, Father, for your life. Thank you, God, for your desires, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you love us, Lord. And that you, Lord, that you want to release, Lord. That you make room in every heart here, Lord, for so many to come in, Lord. So many, Lord, to worship you, Lord. So many. Thank you that every home represented here, Lord, will become a city of refuge, God. Will come to be a place, a stronghold for you, Father. Where, Lord, your word will be known, Lord. Your prophecies and your scriptures will come forth, God. Thank you, Lord, that there will be direction. Thank you, Lord, that be a life, Lord. Thank you that wives will feel safe, Lord. Thank you that wives will feel protected and provided for, God. Not because we have the opportunity we have, Lord, in it. It's simply because you give us a grace, Lord. And we thank you for that life in Jesus' name, Father. We release that. Will all of you stand with us this morning as we're going to just pray. If you want to finish praying, just finish praying. We're going to spend some time in worshiping God. I know some of you are in a bit of a rush. I really want to ask you if you can come tonight. Tonight there are lots of first years coming, and they need fathers. They need people that can just welcome them, just give them a hug. They've come all the way, and one moment can change their lives. I want to ask the men, if you remember, we have a men's camp on the 1st of March that weekend. Enroll. There's like a Facebook page. Enroll for that as men, because we need to trust God for confidence again. The confidence to stand up, not to intimidate, not to break down, but all the men, just the place of saying, God, we are not going to do like the soapies does. And ladies, you need to pray for your men, okay? You need to pray. Because God wants to do something in our hearts. God wants the generations to turn to each other. The hearts of the fathers to turn to the children, and the hearts of the children to turn to the fathers. And I want to pray right now for people that feel intimidated and afraid to take up your authority. You know, I want to pray for people that have stepped into that place where you always want to add to what God has done, and there's this massive lying thing in your life that says you must just try harder. And it just brings God to a place where you say to God, God, you know, you're trying hard, but I'm trying hard as well, and we're missing each other here. Because do you know what? God doesn't jump around from his throne. God doesn't jump up and then rushes this way and then he rushes that way because he's panicking. The only way where we see this movement is when Jesus stands up, when somebody lays down their life for Christ physically. And he says, Stephen, come up. I receive you. I receive you. And you know, when we begin to say to God, God, it is finished over our job situation. God, it is finished. I want to enter into the finished work of Christ. It's been completed, God. Lord, I can't see it in the natural. Lord, every circumstance comes against me. Everything says to me, Lord, no. That's when you begin to stand up like David and you begin to say, I saw God. I saw God. I can begin to speak life. I can begin to release God's fullness over my life. Some of you must do that over your physical body today. And you must begin to say to God, God, I've come a cycle. There's a lady here that has been for 13 years. You were just sick. The one side, from the one sickness to the other side, there's like a spirit of infirmity over your life. I want to pray for you quickly. Where are you? It's around about 12, 13 years. And there's been like cycles of just sickness over your life. Where are you? Quickly, I want to pray for you. Just don't be shy. It's a bit pressure today. But I want to pray for that lady quickly. Where are you? I'm not going to pray for you later. I want to pray for you right now. Where are you? 12, around about 12 or 13 years, just like cycles of sickness. Just quickly, are you there at the back? I want you to come quickly to the front. Will that lady quickly come? Because we're going to pray today. God is going to deliver you. There's also a man here that you are on the third set of pills. Okay? The first two sets didn't work. There's a third set of pills. And God is going to deliver you. God is, there's actually a demonic assignment over you. You've gone and you tried the two sets, but the third set is just not, you're actually in your mind in this week, go back and say, oh, let's try another set, because obviously it's not working. I want you to come quickly to the front. That third set of pulls, God is going to break that stuff over your life, and it's going to take humility a bit, but you need to come quickly. Where's that man? I want to pray for you. We're not into shaming your people today. We're here because of Jesus. He's finished the work. He died for people so that they can be free. He died for people so that they can have life. I want that man to quickly come because we're going to pray for you. Where is that? Is that you? Okay, come quickly. Come quickly. I want you to come quickly. There are four people here that have been dreaming that you are financially going to fail. Okay? You've actually had dreams about this. There's lots of pressure over you financially, but you've actually had dreams over it. And there's one specific person on Tuesday night. You had a dream. You had a dream that there's like these tables and the tables crush. They like, they just fall apart and everything. And you just want to run. Where are those four people? I want to pray for you quickly. Come to the front just quickly because we want to pray for you. But I want you to come quickly. If God speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks, we just say, yes, God, thank you for freedom, because it's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Where are those four people? Quickly come. God has actually got a calling on one man's life, especially with those dreams. And you're sort of like, you're really panicking. You're asking about the purpose of God. I want you to quickly come. Just come. Quickly. People, we don't want to wait too long for you. Father, we just thank you for your life. Just quickly come. There's four people. I want you to come. Where's those people? I want you to come and stand right here in front, because God is going to just set us free today so that we can worship Him and we can come into that place. There's also people here that are, you always feel like this. You feel like you're a second-class citizen. Doesn't matter what people say. You always feel, because of people that has run before you, you always feel like God is going to give you hand-me-downs. Okay, you're like at the end of the row, and you're never in front of the, you know, you're always like, you get, you know, when everybody dishes up, then you're standing right at the end, and you don't get everything that was supposed to be dished up, because that's just how your life has worked. That's just how cycles of your life has worked. I want you to come to the front quickly, because we're going to pray with you, and we're going to say that God is going to take you right to the front of that row, and He's going to show you what His place is. There's a place to come and sit with Him. Just quickly come. Now everybody's staring at me and thinking like, whoa. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come quickly. It's just like a child. We come to receive, because God wants to break cycles over our lives. Just quickly come. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, we would love to pray for you. Now, lots of people are like staring around and they're thinking like, oh, that's nice for him. I wonder if pity was here. If pity was here today, that would have been a good word for him. Maybe God is speaking to you. I want you to come and stand quickly in front. Those people, just come. Father, we just thank you for your life today. We thank you, Lord, that we don't need to be intimidated by what people say, but we've come, Lord, as your sons and as your daughters, and we thank you for that freedom. I want you to come quickly. Come, come. If God is speaking to you, not just the younger people. We're just waiting. We put some pressure on you because, you know, the Holy Spirit calls, you respond right now. Okay, just come quickly. Just come, come, come. If God is speaking to you. It's just a response. It's a hot thing God wants. I want you to come. You always feel like you're standing at the back of the row and you like get hand-me-downs from God. You always get like second-hand clothes because that's actually what you've got. You know, God wants to just say to you, He puts a new robe on you. He puts a new life in you. There's somebody here that's afraid of death. Okay, just like I use that example of the fears, you're really afraid of death. Okay, you're afraid of dying young. Maybe it's more than one person. I want you to come to the front quickly. Just come. Come. If there's anybody like that, there's especially a lady, you're in your late 20s, and the Lord wants to just break that cycle of death over your life. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come. Just come, 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 come. We don't want to take too much time, but we need to respond right now, okay? So if God is speaking to you about that fear, those cycles of death, Father, we just thank you for your life right now. We just thank you, God. Thank you. We're gonna sing a worship song. And if you need Jesus in your life, if you need to come to that place where you stand under the cross and you say, Lord, it's finished. You washed me clean. You've forgiven my sins. God, you've come to give me a new life. Every morning when I wake up, I just think, Lord, wow, what an opportunity. What a place to be able to serve this magnificent God. What a place to know this Father. What a place to stand before Him and know that I'm clean, I'm righteous. He's washed me clean by His blood. There's no accusation, no intimidation, no fear anymore when I come to God, when I come to stand before Him. If that's you today, I want you to quickly come to the front. We're going to just sing a worship song together. If you're married here today, I want you to take somebody's hand next to you, your wife, okay, if she's here. And just bless her. Bless him. Just come to that place where you say, thank you, God, as we worship together. Just for a moment.